This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay-ass accent, them cheap-ass cigars, your yuck-mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
In the house, and welcome to another episode of the Click Nation podcast. I'm your host, Tim Theo Double G, and tonight I'm joined by my brother, the Adam Black.
Hey, what's up, true believers?
The Stan Lee quote.
Yes, sir.
And I also have on the line our reality check correspondent, Brandy from BLR Productions.
What it do, pimps and pimpettes.
And Mr. Banff and Leroy Jetstream won't be with us tonight, but in their place we have a very special guest. And Adam Black is familiar with this man because they went to college together. And that man would be Charlie.
I guess I'm supposed to say something clever now, so... There it is.
I was going to say, there it was. But I want to thank Charlie for joining us tonight, and going to let him go ahead and introduce himself to the listeners.
Well, I'm Charlie, and I'm a graphic designer with Third Designs. You can follow me on Third_Designs at Twitter, and you can find me on Third Designs on Facebook and Google+. And you can also follow me on Twitter at steel_hidden.
So we're joined by two graphic designers tonight.
Yeah, Brandy, we must talk shop sometime, really.
We should. We really should.
Yeah. Mega powers unite.
in graphic design.
Yeah. Yes.
So tonight we're recording on Tuesday, September 4th, 2012. And, of course, go and check us out on our website, theclicknation.com. And we have a Twitter account that everyone can follow. It's at theclicknation. Make sure to like our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. We're on Google+. Search for theclicknation. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/theclicknation, and subscribe also on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And if you ever want to send us some feedback, you can go ahead and send that to theclicknation@gmail.com. And, of course, we also enjoy getting some nice iTunes reviews. Make sure to give us 5 stars and leave us a nice review, and you'll have it read on the show, along with any emails and tweets or Facebook comments you send to us. And finally, we are a part of the Comic Related Podcasting Network. You can check that out at their website, comicrelated.com. It's basically a network set up of a bunch of different podcasts, most of them pertaining to comic book related stuff, which we do tend to discuss on the show from time to time. So they were nice enough to add us to their network. So go ahead and check them out, like I said, at comicrelated.com, and check out some of the various podcasts they have. I'm sure you'll find something there you like besides the Click Nation podcast.
Yes,
so, with all that out the way, let's go ahead and move on to find out what happened in Ratchetness on Brandy's reality check.
Hello?
Still there? Hello?
Hello?
Brandy?
Thank you. Hello?
Hello? I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you hear us?
Okay, there's a delay on my end.
Oh, man.
Okay.
I was about to say, who? Let's see. You have your headphone on, or at least some earbuds in your ears, right, Brandy?
I do.
I wonder if it's because, hey, Charlie.
I do.
Yes.
Do you have any earbuds?
Yes, I do.
Let's try those for a second. Hopefully it's not from the recording going bad because it popped that same message up again when I started, but I believe it's still recording. I can always check it, and Rodney's doing his, so.
Yeah.
Let me check.
Okay.
Yeah. Give you the time it updated 9:13. So yeah, mine is recording.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, we could always hear you. I guess it was just a matter of you saying the echo and not echoing, the delay.
Okay. Because I can hear you now.
Cool.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can.
You have your headphone, earbuds in now, right, don't you, Charlie?
Yeah, yes, I do.
Maybe that helped it.
I hope so, because I got a lot of stuff to say.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so let me intro it one more time. So, let me put a little break. So, with that, let's get into some ratchetness and find out what's going on in the reality check.
Delayed.
Still the late? It's not my side or not, but it just said the recording might not go right.
Turn off your recording, Tim, and we'll see if mine will do it.
Well, no.
No.
You said you were going to say something, Brandy?
No, I don't know. I mean, the weather's bad outside of Atlanta. I don't know if it'll be me. I don't know what's going on.
I'm curious. It's just a delay. How long of a delay is it?
Right now it's cool. And then once you start talking, it'll be like probably like a 2 or 3 second delay.
May have to roll with it.
Yeah, but yeah, that's not too bad.
All right, let's go.
Okay, so do the intro again. So with that out the way, let's find out what's going on in Ratchetness with the Brandy's reality check.
All right. Reality check for today. As some of you guys may or may not know, yesterday VH1 premiered the very last episode of Season 1's Love & Hip Hop Atlanta Edition. I must say, it was a 2-part finale special, and the second part was definitely worth the wait. Lots of twists and turns happened. A lot of jaws was left on the stage. A lot of hearts were broken. There was a happy ending, actually, so that was good. Again, it was hosted by Mona Scott Young, who is the producer of the show. She definitely picked up where she left off last week, with asking Stevie J to answer the question as to what exactly is the status of his relationship between Jocelyn and himself, and actually, if there is something, what is her title? He, in pure Stevie form, beat around the bush, was trying to, go every which way but the right way to answer this question. They pretty much cut him off, was like, all right, dude, you're going through all this about how y'all met and how much you care for her, but we want to know, are y'all together? And he came out after about 5-second hesitation and was like, no, they're not together.
Aww.
Yeah. Jocelyn co-signed on it immediately, and she didn't claim him. She said that, no, they're not together. She's, again, with him just for the sex and the money. Jocelyn, actually, I give credit to Jocelyn because she's aware that she's a dumb chick, or at least
she owns up to it, is what you're saying.
I'm going to say she's smart enough to admit that she's doing dumb things. And she owns it. She's like, yeah, when it comes to love and life, Stevie is a fuck nigga. But when it comes to money and getting me right and getting the things that I want, that's my dude. And that's pretty much what she said all night last night. Mm-hmm. Mimi, on the other hand, is holding on to that little piece of thread that she calls a relationship between her and Stevie. And she's, like, determined to compare herself to Jocelyn and let it be known to the world that she's the better woman. When it's almost like when Jocelyn peeped game, she was kind of like, well, you stupid because me and you, we riding on this same quote-unquote bus, and you're the only dumb one that is determined to tell the world that you ain't got a bus pass, but, bitch, you, like, you fighting me for shotgun. Like,
I like the analogies to the bus and who can ride it and who has bus pass.
I mean, they came out of Stevie's mouth. He the one said that it's his bus and they all passengers and they trying to get to the next level. But, yeah, it was, I mean, I'm Team Jocelyn, for real, because she definitely did that. She let it be known what it is, and she pretty much said everything that we as podcasters going to say, as bloggers going to say about her. She owned it and said it before we could even write it out or speak it out. So, good job, Jocelyn. Let's see. The second love triangle that was on the stage was between Scrappy, his baby mom, Erica, and Shay, who was also known as Bucky.
With a bird nest on her head.
Yes, yes. She had the golden Easter basket.
Yeah.
On her head last night. I don't know where she got that from. It looked like she pulled it out of Jocelyn's ass to ask you, to be honest. Because I was like, what the hell? But she was determined to funk it. She was like, I'm broke. I ain't got no money, but goddamn it, I'm going to be on that stage tonight. And that's exactly what she did. Because her outfit looked cheap. Everything just looked wrong. She was better off not accepting the invitation to the finale. She just saved everybody's eyes with that little scene she put together. She came on there. She claims that she came on the show to address Erica. Apparently, after the show aired, Erica had been doing some tweeting and Facebooking that was addressed to Shay, saying that how she's a hoe and pretty much calling her out her name. So she claimed she came on the show to address Erica about that. And Erica owned up to it and was like, yeah, after watching the show, like, how can I watch an episode where you're with Scrappy talking, laughing, and kicking it up about me not knowing y'all have a little thing going on right now. Mona definitely asked Scrappy to explain his intent or his feelings between the two women, and he kept saying how much he's in love with Erica and how he realized that later, after everything has been done and the smoke has settled, he realized that Erica truly has been there for her. She had every right to be mad at him when she was mad, and he wouldn't trade her in for the world. As for Shay, he loves her like a friend, but that's pretty much as far as he'll go with her. And Shay did not take too kindly to that. She got up, shared a few bitches and hoes, and threw those across the stage. No fight. Mona did a good job of interjecting that. I was a little pissed at that because I'm like, what? I'm like, I want to see how easy it's going to be for her to pull this wig off. Like, come on. But
my guess would be pretty easy. Yeah.
I know. I was ready for like, hey, that last hot second, I was ready for that, but I didn't get the opportunity. So, at the end, pretty much it was obvious to Shay, like, anybody could tell that Scrappy was clearly in love. He was even sitting on the same couch with Erica, and he was just professing love for her, telling Shay that Bob was ain't you. Shay basically got upset and said that he was a liar and she was a little mad that he was on. So she got up and walked off the stage. After she left, Jeff decided to pull out an engagement ring and propose to Erica in his little ghetto fabulous way.
Yeah, it was so romantic.
But the words "marry me" did not come out. I mean, it wasn't even jumbled in his Ebonic style proposal. It wasn't even in there, but he pretty much said in so many words, "A nigga love you, let's do this."
Yeah, that's those romantic words that every woman was looking to hear.
Exactly. Like, that was music to her. She sat there, her ring, that according to a couple of my friends on Twitter, they were saying that the ring was probably in Shay's name, but it was definitely on Erica's finger yesterday.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, before Shay made her exit, she stood up and was like, if it's like that, why don't you put everything that's in my name and her name to shout out together now, and she stepped off. So I'm assuming that ring probably was in her name.
Probably so.
Yeah, yeah. The cameras did catch her behind stage. It was so classic, like, Maury, when one of the girls be so embarrassed and she run backstage, like, they got her. She had the embarrassed camera angle, and they followed her as she walked out of the studio in tears. It was hilarious to me.
Yeah, it was me, Banff, and Mr. Smith watching it last night, too, and we were like, oh, God. She's going to kill herself.
Exactly. I was like, dang, I'm really hoping she run into a plastic bag and stick her head in there. But for running into a cup of bleach or something, it was like, that's the end of her career. If she ever resurfaced, like, how worse can you be? Like, wow.
Yeah, no, Shay and Scrappy reality show.
Yeah, she's like, she literally, and it was a good, Mona gave a quick jab at them, was like, this little love triangle, Erica and Shay found themselves in the middle of a pile of scraps. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
So, do we have somebody on the toilet?
That's what it sounds like.
Really?
Not on this side.
Hello. What was that?
You moving furniture and flushing toilets. What's going on?
Well, I'm not actually doing that.
It sounded something like that in the background. What else you got, Brenda?
All right. So that was between the lovers. Carly Red got up there. She's another one that should have just exit stage left after the first embarrassment. But she tried to redeem herself and call Benzino out, saying that the night he proposed to her, after he left her with her jaw on the floor at the restaurant, she collected her thoughts and decided to go to his house to apologize to try to make it work. And when she got there, she busted in the house, and Benzino had a naked chick at the house with him.
I didn't catch all that.
But, I mean, sure, by that time, they was off the clock.
The show must go on.
So, yeah, I would have loved to see that. He didn't really look like he was going to deny that little tidbit, so I believed it was true. And she got up, and she had, like, a little souvenir that she made for him. That was a black T-shirt that says something like, I'm a polygamist or something like that.
I'm not monogamous. I'm a polygamist.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think she was more so she figured out the meanings of those words and can spell them and put them on a T-shirt. Because I was like, I mean, that's not really, if you're going to spend money on a T-shirt, that ain't really a cute jab at somebody, but whatever. Benzino confirmed that their relationship was over. It was nothing there. It was nothing going to be there. And that was their little highlight. They touched on, Mama D actually was on the stage with Scrappy and Erica, and she embarrassed the hell out of Scrappy by presenting him with this big-ass Burger King crown.
A what?
A Burger King crown.
Why'd she do that to him for?
As you know, she, I told you, she's like the queen of, then we established she's the queen of the church's parking lot.
So, yeah, that was like last week or the week before last.
Yeah, so that's what that was last week. We had declared her the queen of the church's parking lot. And this week on stage, she declared him as the prince of the South with his gold blinged out Burger King crown. I mean, the thing was huge. He even was embarrassed. He was like, Mom, I feel like the kid in fifth grade who mama comes to the classroom and bring them a lunch. Like, that was so embarrassing.
Exactly. But I could have sworn Mystical was the Prince of the South, but, you know, I guess that's a little too old a reference for kids nowadays.
Yeah, I guess a little, but...
especially since he's still in jail, isn't he?
No, he's out.
He's out. He's trying to do something.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, he's the, Scrappy's the prince, according to Mama D. Although, if you watch the show, you know that Mama D was not too fond of Erica. And she kind of was like, you know, I give up. If that's what my son wants, I'm down for whatever he wants. And she, I think her words were not exactly, but she said something like, I'm the queen, he's the prince. Erica, we welcome you to the kingdom or the castle or something like that. She said.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought she didn't like Erica.
Yeah, she said she doesn't, but she's going to accept Scrappy's decision.
Oh.
Yeah, pretty much. So that was the season's happy ending, I guess. What else went down? Rashida got up there with Kirk and they explained their relationship. Actually, they've been married for 12 years, but they kept their relationship a secret until the show started filming. They said they did that to survive the business because it's almost like you can't have a female rapper who's married that doesn't really match the image that she's trying to portray.
Yeah, because they said they've been married like 12 years, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, it makes you want to, they said they want to make it seem like she's attainable. So if she's single, that works perfect. But if she's married.
I thought that was mostly for, like, guys.
Well, that's what he was saying, is that, you know, for a guy fan or whatever will think that Rashida's attainable if she's single.
I mean, like, the guy.
Oh, a guy artist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it could go the other way.
Well, I think it was a little sketchy anyway, because clearly that little method didn't work, because whether she's married or not married, she still ain't no false chick. Like, she still got like five albums sold.
She was big in the early 2000s, wasn't she?
She got five albums sold. certified platinum.
She, whenever we do our, you know, I Love the 2000s episode, she might
we'll get. We'll mention her on the.
She went certified wood.
Exactly. We'll mention her on the Who Dat list. But at the end, they did have a good question and answer segment. I was surprised that they asked all the questions I've been asking all season long. Like, does Stevie J have a car? He admitted that throughout the whole show, he had no car. He just got a car thanks to the VH1 checks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When season two airs, we will, instead of seeing Stevie walking off into the fog or the streets of nowhere, we'll see him hopping into his whip, whatever one he is proud to show off, and probably driving off into the middle of nowhere this time.
I never saw him walking. I just always saw him in
somebody in the passenger seat.
Yeah, Benzino's car.
Passenger seat, walking on the sidewalk, going nowhere. It was evident to see questions arose, red flags. Stevie didn't have no car.
I figured maybe he just had like a suspended license or something. Couldn't drive.
He admitted he had no car. He was like, he wasn't embarrassed. He wasn't ashamed. He didn't have no car.
It is what it is.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Oh, the question, it was hilarious, Rodney. I know you saw the little mashup they put together of all of his
premises.
And, oh, man, I missed that.
That was so
funny. Oh, my God. That was hilarious. I was dying laughing at all the different scenes they put together of this man and his rat face.
I mean, it was funny, too.
It was hilarious. If y'all don't catch anything, please Google that to look at the little faces they put together.
Someone shoot me a YouTube link.
Yes. I'm pretty sure it's going to be under Stevie J rat face pile up or something.
Rat face mashup.
There you go.
Yeah.
Another mashup they did was they actually did, I don't know if you guys remember when I recapped a therapy session between Stevie, Jocelyn, and Mimi, where Stevie actually took the time to wipe the sweat off of Jocelyn's nose.
Oh, man. So,
apparently, that was not the one and only time he did it on the show. He did it about 5 or 6 times.
Yeah, I saw them talking about that.
The producers put the clips together, and yeah, that's their thing. Like, he wiped her nose. That's so cute. I don't know. I mean, as a female, I don't sweat on my nose. I don't know no other females that sweat on their nose, but.
You're a lady.
Yeah, so I don't know. But yeah, that was another thing I was like, question, right?
Wasn't there a proposal on the show?
Yeah, it was just Erica's. Scrappy.
Okay. To make his baby mama an honest woman.
She accepted?
She did. They were so happy. She said that her heart wouldn't stop beating.
Oh God.
Yeah, Scrappy was dressed like an extra for somebody's wedding anyway, so I knew that. Yeah. I was like, he looked like he just left somebody with reception or something.
Yeah. He was dressed, you know. He was dressed all right, and, you know, Stevie J had on red pants and red shoes. I'm like, God dang.
Look at my shoes.
Yeah, so they did confirm that there will be a season 2.
They did show a scene with Jocelyn and her parents.
Her parents, yeah. I mean,
weren't the parents mad at her for not sending them money?
Exactly. That was, I guess, the explanation of why she is why she is. She did say that her parents never felt like whatever she did was good enough. She explained that when she did leave home, between her and her parents, she was talking to her mom. It was like, you know, when I did leave home and I came back, I had money. And y'all act like I wasn't doing anything. And the mom was like, you talking like you brought home $2,000-$3,000. You brought, like, $1, $2, $3. So,
wow.
Thanks.
Yeah, exactly. So that was Jocelyn. That little scene kind of segued into Jocelyn explaining that Stevie was the only person that ever did something for her, ever took care of her. Anybody else in her life, including her mom, just did whatever they had to do and didn't really give 2 fucks about her. So,
yeah.
That was a little. I was rubbing my and my thumb together as the world's smallest violin.
Man, that was crazy.
Yep. So there will be season 2 coming up. They explained that in January. I'm not sure when that's going to come out. I'm assuming next summer, because January is when they'll release season 3 of the New York edition of Love & Hip Hop. So okay. We probably won't be seeing the Ratchet crew for a minute.
Yeah, I'd say the springtime or summer they'll be back.
With Funkmaster Flex on the ones and twos over there.
Okay.
They need to get Baby D.
Oh,
wow.
He was hot for like half of a year.
Oh, I was going to say half a second.
I'm not thinking of that song that he had out. Dang it.
Ain't Carly Red on the track.
After the show, I'll be looking it up on YouTube.
I bet you it's featuring around here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure too. I actually, while we're talking, I'll look it up because I want to know. But
what are you gonna look up on Wikipedia?
Yes, actually,
Wikipedia is my friend. I don't know what I can't tell you about Bamfoot. Wikipedia is my friend all day long.
That's right. Got all that information. According to K. Michelle, if you ain't on Wikipedia, you ain't doing that. You ain't got enough receipts.
Yeah. You need a receipt. Wikipedia is a receipt.
It's a long receipt. It makes you so official, like a referee with a whistle.
See, the problem is I'm on YouTube and just, I'm not sure if it's Baby D with D-E-E or was it Baby D, just the initial.
Please stop whatever you're doing, Tim. Just
I remember playing this in the dorm room.
He's going to pop.
1998.
Okay.
Well, baby D with the just the initial. East Side versus West Side. I'm about to mute myself so I can play this real quick and hear it, y'all.
But before you mute yourself, can you look up Carly Red?
On Wikipedia, I can do that.
See if something finally pops up under her name.
I have to make sure I spell this correctly, or else let's see. I will try every possible way to spell this.
I think it's Karlie, and it might be red with two D's. But she's just that bad.
Yeah, that was wrong. Carly Red, born in New York, is a Trinidadian hip-hop artist, dancer, model, and actress. It says she has worked with Grammy-nominated producer Sean Kingston, Claudette Ortiz, and major record producer Stevie J.
East Side Ho, East Side Ho, West Side Ho. I should play that as the break music.
And it says in July 2012, her debut single, A Girl Has Needs, is on iTunes.
Really? July 2012, the same time that her show has been airing and nobody knows nothing about this.
Nope. And I'm pretty sure now that we've mentioned that, people are going to download that, right?
Yes. Thanks for the free publicity, Rodney.
Yeah, no problem. It's only 99 cents.
Okay. Well, she needs to send you a royalty check or something.
She needs it. So y'all go ahead and hit the download button, please.
And now let me ask the question I had on Twitter for you, Brandy.
Sure.
This is from Classic Material, my co-host on the Cold Slither podcast. He said, will Brandy cover R&B divas for your show?
Oh, my gosh. I actually will. I definitely watch that. So next week, you can hear what I have to say about the chicks that was in the R&B game.
And the reason he asked this is because his wife forced him to watch it last night.
Oh, but he cooked.
So
he wants to know more about it, but he don't want to watch it himself. I got you, Classic. Don't worry.
And we got into a little short convo about it because I asked him who actually was on the show, and he named whoever, and he said some chick named Monifa. And I was like, oh, okay, I saw that name pop up 1,000 times on my timeline Monday night. I had no idea what people were talking about.
See?
So that explains it.
Hot topic, yes. I am familiar with what's going on with R&B divas on VH1. I mean, I'm sorry, on TV1, so I'll be sure to briefly recap you guys on that next week.
Yeah. So thank you for dropping those gems on us tonight. Go ahead and make sure everyone knows where to find more your good info and your business at.
All right. Again, it's me, Brandy, owner and creator of BLR Productions Design Agency. You can find me on Twitter at BLR_Productions, or you can find me on Facebook/BrandisR or /BLR Design Studio. I'm sorry, BLR Productions Design Studio.
Hey. So, not sure if you're going to stay on tonight. I know you had other business to attend to. So in case you drop out of the call now, I want to, again, thank Brandy for being on tonight. And like she said, she'll be back next week to bring more of the reality check to us and the listeners.
Yeah. I'll definitely keep an eye. I'll be listening to you guys. So yeah. I'm curious to see what the rest of the show will unfold into.
Thank you. Thanks, Brandy.
So now time to transition over to some Click Nation news. This section of the Click Nation podcast is brought to you by the Adam Black.
All right. I didn't have a whole lot as far as news this week. One thing that came up, I believe, last Thursday was the announcement that, thank God, MTV is ending the Jersey Shore with season 6.
No.
Yes. the season that's coming up that will debut on apparently, I believe October. I'm sorry, October 4th is the date of the last of the season premiere for the last season. They said they're still going to do the spinoffs, the Snooki and Jay Wow show, but even though it's not getting nearly the viewers that Jersey Shore was getting.
I thought they're bringing that show back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't understand the whole thing anyway. The only time I really looked at anything Jersey Shore related was when, and it was just by accident, was when I saw Snooki get punched in that bar from the first season by that dude, and that was it.
Yeah, not who's the guy? Who was the
situation?
People, not situation. Ron. Ron used to got in like 2 fights that first season, which were pretty interesting.
Yep, but. Basically, MTV will also do a retrospective special Jim Tan look back ahead of the MTV Video Music Awards this week. I think Kevin Hart's hosting that, so that'll at least be pretty good for him. Or to see, that may be the only reason to watch that show is Kevin Hart, but you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's see. A question was asked, and basically it looks like Randy Jackson may be out as an American Idol judge ahead of season frickin' 12. But basically, from what I understand, they're trying to get Nicki Minaj and Keith Urban to come on as host, and supposedly he'll act as Randy Jackson will act as like a consultant or a mentor to the acts or whatever. So, you know, sorry to see Randy go. I guess I don't even watch the show.
But they not. He's gone and Simon's gone.
Mm-hmm. Paula ain't on there anymore.
Yeah. Ended already.
No, people still like the show. Tim had added on to the news about discussing Hell in a Cell in Atlanta, and is coming up this, I think, was that October?
Something like that.
Yeah. Here's how it happened. Here's my situation with it. Every time Vince sells tickets to, I mean, he sold the tickets months ago, didn't have money, and now that the tickets are officially on sale, I still don't have money to go. That's pretty much my situation with it.
And the other Click members aren't here to get their opinion. I pretty much knew we weren't going to go anyway. I just thought it would be fun to bring up on the show.
Yeah.
Since it's actually here in our home, or actually not our hometown, but our home state.
Yeah. But if I go to WWE, I don't even go to Raw's. Or like to see Monday Night Raw anymore because, you know, it's just not worth it to me.
I barely watch it when I'm at home now.
Yeah. So if I go, I only go to see pay-per-views or house shows like in Macon or whatever. This time I'll have to bow out and not go. Maybe next year if they do a pay-per-view.
Right.
Unfortunately, yesterday we found out that we lost a Green Mile actor, Michael Clark Duncan. He died yesterday at the age of 54. He had been recovering from a heart attack he suffered in July, but apparently he never quite recovered from it.
You say he was 54?
54. Young.
Yeah. Sorry to see him go.
Yeah. As far as roles, I mean, he did the, you know, he did a lot of roles. Of course, he was nominated for the Green Mile. That's where kind of everyone noticed him, and you know, and his career kind of took off from there. For geek fans, he played the Kingpin, which was a controversial role because the character is white, and you know, he's black, so he played the Kingpin, and he even voiced him for the Spider-Man animated series. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sure you're about to say he was also Kilowog in the Green Lantern animated series cartoon or CGI show.
He's also the he did the voice for the movie as well.
That's right.
And he was also wrestling sites also noted that he was a huge wrestling fan. So
I guess it was probably the movie he was in. I'm not sure if he was in the animated series.
That was someone else.
Yeah,
in the series. But he passed away. And I heard an interview he did on Covino and Rich, where he talked about his days being a former stripper called Black Caesar. And and he also talked about a night that he switched a bodyguard role because he used a bodyguard for R&B and hip-hop acts. He said, well, this guy said, hey, can you switch with me? He said, I'm bodyguarding Babyface. He said, cool. The guy he was supposed to bodyguard was
Notorious B.I.G.
Yep. And he said he was just talking about that night as, you know, he said he would have handled things a lot differently. And, you know, he said because the whole Biggie was in the front seat, I guess, when he died. And he said that's usually the seat that he would sit in because he says he wouldn't put the act in the front seat where everyone could see him. So that was just eerie, you know, to hear that. So and that was the first time I had ever heard that. But, yeah, I'm sorry to see him go.
Reminds me of MC Hammer saying how he was there.
Mm-hmm. What, when Biggie died?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Everyone said something. Yeah, it's always a weird story to hear that.
Everyone was in attendance. I guess everyone was there for the fight, probably, more than likely.
All right. Well, I would have liked to have Bam's opinion on this. Terrence Jenkins has been named the co-anchor of E! News. Terrence Jenkins, you may know as Terrence J from 106 and Park. He'll basically be replacing Ryan Seacrest in the role he used to have on there.
Hmm. Yeah. Aren't they having to find a new new host on 106 and Park or something?
Dude, I don't watch that anymore. And Kirsten, we told Kirsten to stop recording it because we kept seeing it on our DVR every day. We're like, well, I don't want to see this crap. So
I only see it when I'm at the barbershop on Thursdays.
There. Yeah. All right. Well, Tim added an interesting article. The richest professional wrestlers in the world from PWMania.com. According to this, it was CelebrityNetWorth.com published an article saying the richest professional wrestlers in the world with figures acquired from all publicly available info, including salaries, real estate, holdings, divorces, record sales, royalties, and endorsements. Good grief, they're all in their stuff.
Yep.
The estimated net worths come from a formula that takes out taxes, managers' fees, agents' fees, and lifestyles. Yep, they really are in their crap. All right, number one, of course, this is no surprise, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, net worth $70 million.
No surprise. Yeah. I think he was the leader since he actually does multiple movies.
Yeah. And not straight to DVD, unlike this guy's. Steve Austin, net worth $45 million. John Cena, net worth is $35 million. Big Show is net worth $30 million. Good grief.
He was the one that surprised me.
Like Big Show? Yeah.
Well.
And Triple H, $25 million. Kurt Angle. What?
I suspect Triple H has mostly come from being part of ownership now, but.
Yeah. I would think so. I'm surprised he's not worth a little bit more, but
yeah, how's Big Show worth more than Triple H?
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see, Kurt Angle $20 million, Jericho $18 million, Shawn Michaels $17 million, Undertaker $16 million, Mick Foley $15 million. And some notables. Bret Hart $14 million.
Edge at 14 was surprising to me.
Yeah, I don't know how they got this list, because I'm like,
I guess he's been in a couple TV shows, but I wouldn't expect him to be like 14 mark.
Yeah,
everyone was surprised at CM Punk being at 7 million. I'm like, he doesn't appear anywhere. All he does is wrestle, as far as I know.
Yeah, I mean, guess, you know, he makes money, probably, you know, T-shirts and all that kind of stuff, too.
Buy my T-shirt.
Goldberg, $12 million. Wow.
Now, when was the last time he actually wrestled?
Dude, I don't know. The last thing I noticed, I knew he did, was he did Garage Mahal on the DIY Network. And I don't even think they're showing new episodes of that.
Whatever that is.
Basically, it's a show where he just goes and remakes your garage into like a, you know, like a man cave or something like that. Pretty decent show. You know, he does a few things, you know, as far as fixing stuff up. Randy Orton, $6 million. Oh, damn. Ric Flair, $5 million. Ric Flair's worth a lot more to that.
To Hogan, whenever you get to Hogan, his is interesting.
Let's see. Where is Hogan?
Keep going down.
Oh, Hogan, $5 million. What?
With a note.
According to
how much does his wife pay of an H1?
According to this, Hogan lost an estimated $25 million in his divorce from ex-wife Linda. She was awarded 70% of the couple's liquid assets, a 40% stake in all of Hogan's companies, six luxury cars, and millions more in property. Wow. Jeez.
You said 70%?
70% of the couple's liquid assets. I know they had that big expensive house they had bought before they got divorced. And from what I understand, he took it at a loss when he finally sold it. And, you know, and then, you know, but the main thing that hurt Hogan also was that lawsuit where his son, I guess, mainly –
was in that accident and killed that guy?
Or left him paralyzed, right?
Well, no, I think he's a brain dead or vegetable or something like that. So they had a settlement on that, from what I understand. Wow. It could be more.
Yep. So yeah, that came out. I saw that on Twitter this afternoon, so I thought that'd be nice to go down that list real quick. Yeah. And what else you got?
I got one last thing. Apparently, Apple has been teasing, has teased a big reveal for September the 12th. That apparently is going to be, excuse me, the unveil of the long-awaited iPhone 5. Yeah. Yeah. I know people will be buzzed. I have to get one right away. I'm going to be the first one in line. But
yeah, I'll be waiting until next year whenever I'm upgrade eligible.
They also said a rumor is that supposed iPad Mini, which is going to be have a 7.85 inch screen, and will be operating under the iOS 6 operating system.
Okay. So yeah, I'll be streaming that at my computer on the 12th. What day is that? Sounds like a Tuesday.
It'll be next Wednesday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll be streaming that at my desk Tuesday. See what they unveil.
I'll look up my updates on the phone while I'm at work, you know, on break, and like I want to know what it's going to do, and then all the people that will be saying, "Oh, I don't like that."
I want them to make a larger screen phone like the Android phones are. I love my Android phone as far as the screen size. Because I don't know. Because I got an iPad now and the MacBook, I'll probably move back to the iPhone. But I don't know, moving that to such a smaller phone, it's going to be weird.
Yeah, after a week, you'll be all right.
Yeah, I like the keyboard on the Android, too. But we'll see.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's the news for this week.
Great. So, normally, actually, when I finally do remember to do Mr. Bant's What the Fuck is Out on Blu-ray, he's not here. So, we'll be skipping that segment of the show. So, I guess it's a good time that we take a break. And when we return, we're going to get into some sports and go ahead and give a preview for the upcoming NFL season. We'll be talking each division, who we think is going to win each division, the conference winners, the wild cards, who our Super Bowl picks are going to be, and we'll even do some guesses at who the offensive and defensive players of the year will be. And I guess we can even do the rookies of the year.
Yeah.
So sit back, relax, get ready to listen to some Baby D.
Oh, Jesus.
And we'll be right back with more of the Click Nation Podcast.
Baby D, I finna be a B.I. East side, nigga. Lil' C, I finna be a B.I. B.I. West side, nigga. East side, ho. West side, West side. West side.
West side. B.I.
And welcome back to the Click Nation Podcast. So, like I said before the break, what we're going to do is talk about the upcoming NFL season that starts this week. And I thought it would be a good idea just to sort of go division by division for each conference, say who we thought would come out on top, and talk about some of the off-season moves, which ones caught our eye, and basically keep going through the playoffs and then predicting some Super Bowl winners. And we may even do a reveal a contest at the end of the show, at least at the end of this discussion. Hopefully I'll be able to pull that off, but we'll get to that when we get to that portion of the show. So, let's see, in the AFC West, we're going to start with, and of course, those teams are the Kansas City Chiefs, the Denver Broncos, the Oakland Raiders, and who am I forgetting?
San Diego Chargers.
San Diego Chargers, because I'm doing this off of memory, because I like to pretend I have a good memory. So, let's see, if I remember correctly, both the Broncos won the division last year. I guess it would be nice if I had. For some reason, I want to say Chiefs also made it, but it's not correct, I don't think.
No.
Yeah. Cool. So the big news in this division, of course, was Tim Tebow leaving the Broncos and being traded to the New York Jets, and Peyton Manning leaving the Indianapolis Colts and coming over to the Broncos. So, in my opinion, I call that very much an upgrade. I'm not sure what you two gentlemen would have to say about that.
I would definitely agree.
Yeah, definitely an upgrade. You know, he's a quarterback that actually throws the ball. Definitely an upgrade.
Yeah, the only question will be is Painted Manning fully recovered from his, I think he had like 3 or 4 different neck surgeries over the last 2 years, or procedures at least, done on his neck.
4 neck surgeries.
4, that's a lot. And everyone's all wondering, you know, what's going to be like when he takes his first hit, which he already took one in the preseason. So that was good. Of course, he got back up. No worries there. And I guess I think he said he also needs to rebuild his arm strength to where it was. And it's also going to be interesting. He's moving from a dome stadium as his home field to mostly outdoors playing in the elements. So it's going to be – we have to see how his body and his stats react to that. Let's see. The Chiefs, they have Romeo Crennel as their head coach now. And Jamal Charles, their star running back, is coming back off of messing his knee up at the beginning of last season.
Yeah, it was like the second week, I think, when he hurt himself.
It was pretty early. Met a couple of teams. I think I might have had him on at least one team last year, if I remember correctly. Let's see, the Raiders, this will be their first full season with Al Davis being gone. They've got Carson Palmer for a full season. See how they respond with that. And seeing if San Diego can rebound from a disappointing season with Phillip Rivers not exactly putting up the stats they're accustomed to. Let's see, Charlie, did anything stand out for you in this division?
Well, like you highlighted earlier, the addition of Peyton Manning to the Broncos, I think, gives them a significant upgraded quarterback and probably the edge in this division. If you want to, you know, rate the quarterbacks of each of those 4 teams, you'll definitely have to put Peyton Manning number 1 if he can return to the form, you know, prior to the neck surgeries. And you probably would say Phillip Rivers number 2 in that division. And you'd go with, I guess you'd go with Carson Palmer over, see the guy's name from Kansas City? Matt Castle.
Matt Castle.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you ran the quick.
See, I almost forgot it. Yeah, if you were rating QBs, I think you'd definitely go in that order.
So, let's see. I guess we can go ahead and say, unless Adam Black had anything he wanted to add, we can go ahead and say who we picked to come out of that division.
Yeah, I didn't have much more to add except Peyton Manning, you know, elevates the Broncos. However, I don't have them. Basically, I have them winning the division, but not by much. Like, I have them. When I was trying to give a record, I had them 9-7. Honestly, looking at their record, I think they'll be a late start team, but they'll finish pretty strong. That's what I feel. So I have them winning the division.
Yeah, I also have them finishing first in that division. Ahead of the San Diego Chargers, Kansas City, and the Oakland Raiders in that order.
Yeah, that division, at first glance, you sort of say, at least in the past, it was always sort of San Diego's division to lose. But yeah. I think they've sort of slid back now, and I think the rest of the division has caught up with them because the Raiders were in it up until, I think, the final game, the last weekend of the season last year. I think along with Kansas City, I think they're all kind of equal teams. They all have pluses and minuses. And I'm trying to think, would I still go with everyone and say the Broncos to win it? Especially in Peyton's first year, considering if he makes it all the way through the season. Part of me wants to go ahead and say Kansas City will make it. I wonder if that's also because I have some Kansas City players on a couple of my fantasy teams.
Yeah, that might sway you just a bit.
Yeah, but I think I'm going to go against the grain and say Kansas City. Just to be different.
Okay. Well, the team did respond well going, you know, toward the end of last Romeo Crennel, so.
I just reminded myself that he is the coach, and he last time he was coaching the Browns, he wasn't that great of a coach, so I need to factor that in. The caliber of the coach.
Well, after he took over, you know, during the season last year, the team responded well under him, and from what I understand, it was a large number of the players that, you know, really wanted him to retain that role as head coach.
So. Yeah, they kind of played hard for him. But a lot of times people want to have things roll over from the end of how teams ended last season to how they'll start the following season, and you can't really do that because you kind of take every season sort of.
Every season's different.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But, yeah, Romeo. Do I want to pick Romeo? I'm gonna switch to the Broncos. Yeah.
You have been swayed.
I've been swayed. So okay, we all agree to Broncos. Okay, so yeah. next division up, we have the AFC North, which encompasses the Pittsburgh Steelers, Baltimore Ravens, the Cincinnati Bengals, and Cleveland Browns. And anyone got the stats of who won the division last year? Baltimore won it.
Mm-hmm.
And Pittsburgh was a wild card team.
And Cincinnati was a wild card team as well. Out of the division.
They had all three from the division. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Except Cleveland, of course.
Yeah, Cleveland. Because they're Cleveland.
Okay, now you're going to get some angry responses from your Cleveland fans.
And that's fine. I know a fellow podcaster, CJ Starchild, host of the All Subjects Everything podcast, is a Cleveland Brown fan. So he's at least the only one I know on my timeline on Twitter that is one. But if you are any other listener that is, feel free to come and talk trash to us in our email or tweet us.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Any fun thing, big off-season moves. Let me bring up my, let's see. Were there any big pickups or signings for this division? Pittsburgh picked up Leonard Pope, UGA grad. I'm looking on this website called OvertimeFantasyFootball.com, seeing their off-season player moves. Who knows how up to date this is as of recording time? Just seeing if anyone else sticks out. Yes, New England picked up running back Ben Jarvis Green Ellis from New England Patriots, and they let Cedric Benson go. That actually might be pretty much an upgrade. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Cedric Benson ran pretty hard for the Bengals last year.
Yeah, I wonder why they didn't resign him or whatever, and they just let him go.
Yeah, because running backs, you sort of cycle through them.
It's a quarterback and wide receiver league, right?
Yeah, and tight ends nowadays.
Yeah, but it is one significant thing I'd like to point out. Terrell Suggs from Baltimore Ravens was injured in the offseason, and he had surgery. He's trying to, you know, rehab and come back for the season, even though they're saying that he may be lost for the season.
Well, they put him on the PUP list or the injured reserve? I can't remember which one it's called. And they've made a change to whichever list it is he was put on. So if you were put on that list, now you can be brought back in the middle of the season.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the physically unable to perform list, I think.
Yeah.
I think, and they have until, like, week six, I think, to come back. And then after that, I guess it's permanent or their season's over, basically.
Season's over. Let's see, wide receivers, any big changes? Running down the list.
And Baltimore did get rid of Billy missed the kick at the end of the Patriot game. So hopefully, you know, they do better this year, you know, without Billy Cundiff there.
And
that was a significant kick he missed at the end of that playoff game.
Yeah.
And there was a big drop, too, in that game, wasn't it? Or am I thinking about?
Oh, yes, it was. It was a big drop in the end zone.
TJ, wasn't it? TJ, was it TJ Husmanzadeh?
Or am I still there? No, was he there last year?
I might be thinking two seasons ago.
No, he wasn't there last year, but I want to say it was Lee Evans, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, I remember someone messed up. And Pittsburgh wide receiver Mike Wallace ended his holdout and reported to camp.
I hate when they hold out for most of the camp.
Yeah, because usually they come back and end up pulling.
No, because they like to go deep, and Mike Wallace is their big play, deep threat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then they come back and end up pulling, like, hamstrings.
No!
Because they're not in football shape just yet.
And I'm not sure. I think Rashad Mendenhall is supposed to be out a significant amount of time this year.
Yeah, their running game, Pittsburgh's running game is going to be kind of iffy. And they did sign Antonio Brown to a nice contract. He was kind of their possession receiver. He was kind of breaking out, challenging Mike Wallace for that number one receiver spot. They make a nice tandem. I like both of them. And let's see, Cincinnati, this will be the second year for the tandem of A.J. Green and Andy Dalton. Yeah. Got to look out for them.
Yeah.
Especially A.J. I love A.J.'s game. Cleveland will be starting 28-year-old rookie Brandon Whedon at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Trent Richardson is their running back who is coming off of knee surgery in the offseason. I think word is he's supposed to be ready by week one.
Great. After he's on my fantasy team, or the eclectic fantasy team.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was about to say he's on my fantasy team.
Y'all can have him. Actually, I have their wide receiver, Greg Little, on one team. That was kind of a panic pick. Clock was winding down. But it wasn't until like the third or fourth round, so hopefully he gets the majority of the passes. So let's see, we talked about Baltimore, any big moves. They re-signed Ray Rice.
That's a big move.
Yeah.
Yes. You wanna make your running back, your star running back, you wanna make him happy going into the season.
Yes.
Yeah. And Flacco is another year in the league. He's not in the elite status, but he's a dependable starter. He at least won games in the playoffs.
But if you ask him, he'll say he's elite.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of the top ones.
Every athlete will say that. I'm best.
You know, I guess that's why I never got into Phillip Rivers, because I don't like my quarterbacks to talk shit on the field.
Shut your mouth.
he'll talk trash to anybody. Fans, other quarterbacks, Jay Cutler.
Okay.
But, yeah, Joe Flacco, I'm still not sure on him. I don't know. I mean, I think he is a good quarterback. It's just, I just don't know.
So, Adam Black, if you had to rate the quarterbacks in this division, how would you stack them up?
Roethlisberger. Dang.
So would you put Dalton ahead of Flacco at this point?
No, I wouldn't. Mm-mm, no, I'll give it to Flacco. I'll give Flacco number two and Dalton number three. And who is the quarterback again? The
Brandon Whedon?
Brandon Whedon, yes. Yeah, that guy. Don't know what he's going to do.
He might not even finish the season as a quarterback.
Yeah. Colt McCoy.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
So let's pick who we think is coming out. From 1 to 4, who's winning the division?
Okay.
I'm a Steelers supporter, so I'll always pick them to win the division. I'll go Steelers, Ravens, Bengals, and Browns.
So I went ahead and it was a tough one for me, but I went ahead and said the Ravens. I think they enjoyed putting it to the Steelers last year. You know, I think they were really looking forward to the time when they can sweep the Steelers, and they did it. So I'll keep them in the driver's seat. And I put the Steelers second, I have Cincinnati third, and the Browns bringing up the rear.
All right. I also picked the Ravens to win it, win the division, followed by the Steelers, Cincinnati, and Cleveland. And I think I had Cleveland like winning four games or something like that. So yeah, it sucks to be Cleveland.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. First decision now is.
On top of a whole history of just bad moves and just bad seasons. Poor Cleveland.
And let's see, the next division we'll go and tackle is the poor AFC South.
Why do you say poor?
Because there's only one good team in that division. Unless there's a breakout candidate, which is always possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we have the Houston Texans, who won the division last year, the Indianapolis Colts, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Tennessee Titans. And, of course, the big move in that, or the big news in that division was Peyton Manning being out for the entire year and eventually being traded to the Denver Broncos and the Colts by having the worst record in the NFL, having the number one pick in drafting Andrew Luck. And what else happened in this division? Houston made a lot of changes. They let the defensive end go, whose name is
Mario Williams.
Mario Williams. And
now Buffalo. Yeah.
Highest paid defensive player now until next offseason when someone else gets signed to a big, huge contract that overtakes his. They traded a linebacker to the Eagles. I can't think of that person's name, though.
Ryan's. DeMarco Ryan, something like that.
Yeah.
And let's see what else happened. Colts, they let just about everyone else go, except Reggie Wayne, who they re-signed.
Yeah.
Tennessee's going to start the season with
Jake Locker
as the current QB. And Jacksonville had a holdout in Maurice Jones-Drew, who finally decided to report to camp the week of the first game of the season.
Yeah.
And they're going to go with Blaine Gabbert as their quarterback. And they have the high draft pick, Justin Blackmon, also at wide receiver.
And they brought in Laurent Robertson from the Cowboys to revamp their wide receiving core. So they got a couple of nice targets to throw to.
Probably won't hear from him again. unless he turns out being like one of those random guys that, you know, like after their fifth or sixth year in the league, they finally start producing. Part of me wants to say it was just because he had Romo and the Cowboys offense helping him out, but we'll see.
So you're saying Jacksonville is where receivers go to die?
Yeah, that we've seen this story before.
Oh man.
But predictions for this division. Let me pull up coaches. Are there any coaching changes?
Indianapolis got a new coach, right?
Yeah. They have Chuck. Is that right? Chuck Pagano? Is that their coach?
Yes, that's the coach.
Jacksonville has Mike Mularkey.
Former Atlanta Falcons assistant or offensive coordinator.
Yes. I guess we should have mentioned in Cleveland, they also had that's offensive coordinator. I'm just going back through the other division and see if I missed anyone.
Houston still got, what's his face?
Gary Kubiak.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, and the Raiders have Dennis Allen now as their head coach. Right, back to the AFC South. So, I see Houston Texans once again winning the division. I'm not going to say they're going to run away with it because football, anytime something looks too easy, it never turns out to be that easy with injuries and whatnot and teams bubbling to the top because of the parity. Actually, I kind of like that Tennessee Titans team. They got some weapons. Kenny Britt's going to be just suspended for one game, and then he's coming back, and Chris Johnson signed to a contract in full year.
Yeah, maybe he'll actually produce this year since he got paid.
Yeah, I think he will. So I see Tennessee competing with Houston for the that number one spot, because for some reason I see either Matt Schaub or Andre Johnson or both being hurt again.
Yeah, Andre Johnson did miss a lot of time last year.
Andre Johnson went from being like in the top five picks in fantasy the last couple of years to like going in like the second round.
Yeah, I had Andre Johnson last year. I'm like, do I start him? Nope, can't start him. Damn it.
Well, yeah, I had two, and it was pretty much like there was no choice. You couldn't start him because he was out. But yeah, there was a lot of times where it was like iffy.
And game time decision. Oh God.
Yeah.
Matt Schaub. I don't know if he can make it through a season. He always gets hurt somewhere.
And they become more of a balanced offense because they got Arian Foster and Ben Tate running the rock, and they got a good defense. They have the best defense in that division, I'd say.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I would agree with that.
How do y'all see the division falling out?
You can go ahead, Charlie.
Okay, I have the Houston Texans number one in that division. Now, they had some stars battle, some injuries, but, on paper, which is, always the big caveat, they have the most talented team in that division. And I have the Tennessee Titans as the second team in that division. And this is where I just kind of got iffy. I couldn't decide between the Colts or the Jags. Who will bring up the rear? I expect the Colts to make some strides under Andrew Luck. So I did put them at third and have Jacksonville, bringing up the rear. But I'm not quite sold on that.
Right.
You have a rookie quarterback and Luck, and you have, a quarterback with 1 year of experience on this building, Gabbard, which he had some ups and downs last year, so you really don't know what you're going to get out of him. And I think the Colts will respond with, a new regime change over there, new offense, new defense. I think they're going to turn some heads.
Okay. Go ahead, Adam Black.
All right. I also had Houston winning division just because, like Charlie was saying, they have the most talent and they have a good defense in that division. I opted to have Jacksonville finish second because they also have a good defense, and Malarkey's pretty good with quarterbacks. So we'll see if he'll be able to get his Gabbard, right? I get him and another dude confused.
Yeah, I was kind of do that too.
Gabbard, I think he may respond. He had some games where he looked okay, and then I don't know. But they got, hopefully this wide receiver will work out too. I had the same issue with Indianapolis and Tennessee. I picked Tennessee only because Locker, right? Because I think that's the guy I get him confused. All right, Locker, I feel is, he has a little bit more experience than Andrew Luck, even though I'm pretty sure Andrew Luck is going to pan out and will probably have a better career than Locker. I just see Tennessee edging them out to be third in the division and the Colts last place.
Cool. And I guess I'll do mine. So I also have the Houston Texans winning the division, followed by the Tennessee Titans, the Indianapolis Colts, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think the Jaguars will go they'll win three or four games, I think. They'll be one of the worst teams in the
league. I don't really think that's a word.
Yeah, so apparently Adam Black believes in the Jaguars.
And I can't even hate them because you never know.
Yeah.
Yep. So AFC South.
And finally, the AFC East, where we have the Buffalo Bills, the Miami Dolphins, New England Patriots, and the New York Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Pardon me while I hurl, please.
So, let's see. Big news in that division. Let's see. Head coaches, Miami Dolphins, were on hard knocks this year. And they have a new head coach in Joe Philbin. Josh McDaniels comes over from coaching the who was he with? He used to be the Broncos head coach, but then didn't he move to the?
He was the Patriots assistant for a little while, right?
But that was before he went to Denver. Wasn't he also the Chiefs like offense coordinator?
I don't.
Yeah.
Anyway, now he's the Patriots offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Josh McDaniels. Yeah, he was with the Patriots. He was the head coach at Denver, and now he's back with the Patriots.
Yeah, I want to say he went to the Chiefs staff.
Yeah, he might have been.
But, yeah. And let's see, we had the Jets picking up Tim Tebow.
They also have signed a new offensive coordinator in the offseason.
Sperano?
Tony Sperano, yeah, came from Miami. Now he's the offensive coordinator in the New York of the Jets.
He's the big Wildcat guru.
Yeah, something like that.
Yes.
Gee, I wonder why.
And we have Buffalo picked up the defensive player, Mario Williams from the Texans. That was their big splash. The Dolphins tried to make a big splash by signing Chad Johnson, but he headbutted. So that ended that arrangement.
Yeah, and their big offseason acquisition, I guess you could say, is the draft pick, Ryan Tannehill, who's slated to start for them.
Yes. They had David Garrard. He was slated to be the starter, and he was number one in the depth chart. Then he got hurt.
He got released today.
Yeah.
Yes, I just saw where he got cut.
Yeah. That point, I can't catch a break.
His time came and went with the Jags. The Patriots signed Brandon Lloyd at receiver, and they extended Aaron Hernandez to a long-term deal.
And they released the Branch recently, so hopefully they have a little bit more depth at receiver than, you know, what we know, I guess. You know, Bill Belichick is supposedly the Darth Vader of the NFL, so maybe obviously he knows something about his receiving core that we don't know.
Right, that is true. And Tom Brady can make a mediocre receiver out to look great, so.
Yes.
So.
And they still have Will Sweater, so.
Yes.
Yes, at least for now. Eventually he's going to be jettisoned, I feel, because that's what the Patriots do. They get rid of you a year early instead of a year late.
Yeah, that's true.
So, let's go with the predictions for each team as far as who's winning the division.
I guess I'll start off. I think this schedule that I'm looking at for the Patriots, I had them, and I was still doing the records, I had them 13-3 and basically winning the being number one in the playoffs again. I just feel that it's a schedule they could easily handle. The only hiccup is in their division. Cause they got to play the NFC West this year. So that should be pretty easy. I have the Patriots first, the Jets second, Buffalo, and then Miami. I don't think the rookie quarterback, it's hard to say, but I don't think he's it, or they're going to do it this year. And Buffalo, if there's a wild card, like a dark horse team that could challenge some people, it's Buffalo. But that's just a bad division that they're in. So I just can't see them, getting second in it.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Patriots finishing first in that division. Like you said, Tom Brady, Wes Welker, Bill Belichick, you know, the two tight ends. Pretty good combination. I have Buffalo finishing second. Actually, I think Buffalo and the Jets might end up with the same record. You know, when I was going over the schedule, I had them both at about 8-8. Mm-hmm. But the Jets, you just don't know what you're going to get out of the Jets. If you watch ESPN, you think the Jets is the only team in the NFL. And I refuse to say the name of the second-string quarterback that they acquired in the offseason because, Lord knows, his name has been said enough.
The Jesus and, in cleats.
That person you just referred to. Yes, that person.
Okay.
And I have the Miami Dolphins bringing up the rear. When I was going over the schedule, this might be kind of harsh, but I had them at about 2 wins.
Wow.
And I mean, I don't know what they're going to get out of Ryan Tannehill. Nobody else on their roster is like, you can point to and say that guy's a bona fide star. You don't know what you're going to get out of their receiving core. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of question marks in Miami.
Yeah, indeed. I have the New England Patriots winning first, then followed by the Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins. I think the Jets and Bills will be sort of neck and neck. And, of course, I see Tim Tebow ending the season as the starting quarterback for the Jets.
By
at least week, I forget when their bye week is, but at least by like week 6, he'll be the starter.
Wow.
So that must mean this season is really in the crapper if he is the start.
That's probably going to be when the season turns around, knowing his luck.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Week 9 is their bye week.
Would they wait that long?
Well, I mean, here are their games. The Bills at home, the Steelers, the Dolphins, the 49ers, the Texans, the Colts, the Patriots, and then the Dolphins again.
See, out of that first 4 games you named, I can see them probably winning 1, and that's the Dolphins game.
Dang.
I mean, their offense was just putrid in the preseason, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, it was...
Did they score a touchdown?
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't even know if they scored an offensive touchdown in the preseason. I can't say for certain.
They got a touchdown in the final game.
Well, let's give them a hand. Because that was horrific football.
Oh, man. But, yeah, that's you're thinking by week 9, here's your starting quarterback, Tim Tebow. Now, let me tell you who they're facing.
And the Angels just got his wings.
Now, here's who we would face, though. The Seattle Seahawks, the St. Louis Rams, the Patriots, the Cardinals, the Jaguars, the Titans, the San Diego Chargers, and the Buffalo Bills. So, yeah, the second half of the season looks more favorable.
Well, maybe they'll keep Mark Sanchez in there long enough to, you know, pick up some wins on the back end. Mm-mm.
So that's the AFC. And let's go ahead, since we're still on the AFC, let's go ahead and pick our 2 wild card winners from this conference.
Ooh.
I guess I can try to eyeball. Let's see.
Well, I guess I can go since I'm ready, I guess.
Go for it.
Since I had the Patriots winning the AFC East, being the number 1 overall seed, I had Baltimore winning the AFC North and being the number 2 seed. I had the Houston Texans winning their division, so they would get in the playoffs by virtue of winning their division, and so with the Broncos, because I had them winning their division. And my 2 wild card teams, I had the Pittsburgh Steelers and the San Diego Chargers.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Bring it back up. I had New England, Pittsburgh, Houston, and y'all talked me into Denver. So I'm going to add the Baltimore Ravens, of course, because they make the playoffs every year. And I had one better team. I'm going to go ahead and say Tennessee Titans.
Wow. All right. My teams, I have Denver winning in the West, Baltimore winning in the North, Houston winning in the South, and New England winning in the East and being the number one overall seed. The bye week would also go to the Baltimore Ravens. And my wild card teams would be the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New York Jets.
Jets, huh? Yeah. After Tebow takes over.
You really want me to log off of this podcast.
Right? I think the Jets will be fine.
So you like the Jets better than the Bengals, who made the playoffs last year, and the Chargers, who, you know, they kind of flirt with the playoffs if they don't get in.
I had San Diego at like 7-9. I kept the Steelers at 10-6 in that division, and then I glanced at the Jets schedule. I was like, well, I think they can muster up. You know, that's an ugly division. So I had them actually beating the Patriots once, I think, once or twice maybe.
And I forget what there's something about like every year there's six new teams to make the playoffs, mm-hmm. and six that don't. So.
Yeah. I haven't even factored in that crap, so.
Yeah, I haven't either, but I'd like to point it out.
Yeah.
All right, moving along to the NFC West. Let's see, we have the Arizona Cardinals, San Francisco 49ers, Seattle Seahawks, and the St. Louis Rams. And the only head coaching change was St. Louis picked up Jeff Fisher as their head coach.
And I would say that's a definite upgrade. He's a great defensive-minded coach, and the team should improve under Jeff Fisher.
Yes.
You'd hope so.
Yes.
That's what we'd assume.
Yeah.
Let's see. Arizona name, John Skelton as their starting QB over Kevin Cobb.
And I think that was by default. Yeah. They just put names in the hat and just picked one.
Yeah, really showed out in the off season.
Yeah, just when you thought it was Skelton's job to win, he goes out and lays an egg. I think in that third preseason game, and
yeah,
I don't know.
The 49ers picked up Randy Moss.
Yes.
Brandon Jacobs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes.
And they also added Mario Manningham.
I like that pick.
Yes.
Yeah, I like him as that nice slot receiver or second or third receiver, depending on lineups. Seattle is starting rookie QB Russell Wilson at QB instead of Matt Flynn, who they brought in the offseason. So he won the job. They did bring Terrell Owens in. Tried him out in a couple preseason games, but eventually released him.
Yeah.
They still got Marshawn Lynch and Sidney Rice trying to come back from injury plate season. And they also have, what's the Michigan wide receiver? Was with the Jets and Cleveland. I can't think of his name. Got the beard.
Braylon Edwards,
yeah.
Oh, God. Overrated. Okay, go ahead.
Let's see. The Rams, they still got pretty much the same cast of characters, I believe. Danny Amendola coming back off an injury last year. They got the Jets' old offense coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer. And they have – oh, yeah, they also added the disgraced former defensive coordinator from the Saints, Greg Williams.
Who's now employed. Yeah. Or
is he even employed? If I said that, is he still with the team?
I thought he was banned.
That's kind of Yeah, he's banned, but I don't know if he's still, like, officially a part of the team. You know?
Yeah, like, this site still has him listed, so who knows. Like I said, whenever this website came out with their stats. But let's see. We've named all the additions, so let's go ahead and see who we picked to come in first through four. I guess I'll start off this time. I'm going to say San Francisco. They've got the more rounded team, got a good head coach. Great defense. They have them in first. I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm going to say Seattle second, the Rams third, and Cardinals fourth.
Well, Tim, you must be copying off my paper here because I have San Francisco first in that division. They picked up a lot of weapons in the offseason. I guess the big question mark is, will the real Alex Smith please stand up?
I hope it's from last year.
Yeah, because prior to that, he didn't have a very good resume. So is last year an aberration? Is those prior years, is that the real Alex Smith? We'll find out, I guess, once the season gets underway. I did have the Seattle Seahawks second in the division. I know they're starting a rookie QB, but I was looking at the Rams and Arizona, and neither one of those teams filled me with very much confidence. I know Jeff Fisher is going to improve the Rams, but I don't see them making significant strides this year, so I have them at third in the division, and I have Arizona in the final spot in that division with the quarterback controversy. And they didn't look very good in the preseason either. Who knows what you're going to get?
Well, my pick is pretty much, I think, the same. San Francisco, I had them when I was still counting 11-5, finishing in way on top of the division. Then Seattle, and I just couldn't, and Arizona and St. Louis, I'm just having a hard time deciding who's going to be last between the two. But I had Arizona dead last since they can't figure out who their quarterback's going to be. So I think St. Louis will finish third in the division.
Okay.
Sounds like we're all in agreement with that division.
Yeah. Slick Nation approved division.
Stamp.
And we're all going to be wrong with it.
Who knew that the St. Louis Rams would win the division?
Yeah, behind Sam Bradford, who had like a monster year.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. The NFC North. We have Chicago Bears, the Detroit Lions, Green Bay Packers, and Minnesota Vikings. No head coaching changes in this division, so that's good. Let's see. The Bears picked up Brandon Marshall at wide receiver. They've got who's the running back? Damn it.
You talking about Forte?
Forte.
Yes, they signed him to an extension, so he's going to be happy going into the season.
And he's coming off a knee surgery also.
Yeah.
They also picked up Michael Bush as a backup.
He's a good backup.
Yeah. Coming from the Raiders.
Where he had to back up Darren McFadden.
He was always hurt.
Yes. Yes, I know.
As everyone who's had a team, fantasy team knows.
Yes. Yes, I know.
Let's see. Detroit, they still have no running game because all their running backs are injured or stay injured. Packers, don't recall anything major changing with them. Minnesota, this will be the first full year for Christian Ponder at QB.
Mm-hmm.
They have Adrian Peterson coming off an ACL and MCL tear.
Yeah.
And they don't really know if he'll be ready for the beginning of the season.
Right.
Kind of up in the air. How do we see this division shaping out?
Well,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much this is I have Green Bay winning the division, but I'm thinking Chicago has a good chance with the pickups they made as far as wide receiver. You know, someone that what's his name, Brandon Marshall. You know, someone that Cutler is familiar with. The only question is, can Cutler get through the end of the year and not get hurt? Will Cutler also be able to prove that he's this elite quarterback that everyone believes he can be? But I have Green Bay winning the division. I have Chicago finished second. Detroit, I just don't think it's there. I'm hoping Watts-his-face can stay healthy as well the full season. He did it last year, but
Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, he did it last year, and it's like every time you see him get hit, you're like, oh, God, is he hurt? But he gets right back up, and I think he's already hurt. He hurt his non-throwing hand already, I think. I have Detroit finishing third and Minnesota finishing last.
Well, that's about what I have. I have the Green Bay Packers finishing first. I guess with the acquisition of Cedric Benson, that gives them a better option at running back than I guess they've had in the past couple of years. If Cedric Benson can return to the same form he had last year with the Bengals. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, they have Aaron Rodgers and a host of receivers that can get the ball down the field. So they ought to be exciting to watch as usual. I do have the Chicago Bears finishing second in that division. I was kind of torn between them and the Lions, but I leaned, I guess, more toward the Bears because they have a better defense, I guess, than you can say that Detroit does, because Detroit has, you know, the
whole bunch of knuckleheads.
Yeah, they can't stay out of jail. And I mean, the bright spot is Calvin Johnson and Stafford if he can stay healthy, but everybody else is, you know, just a DUI away from, you know, a four-game suspension. Oh, my. A DUI or, you know, a marijuana possession away from, you know, significant amount of time missed in the league. You can't stop the put pass in the Detroit locker room.
Yeah.
And I have the Minnesota Vikings finishing fourth. Tristan Pondra, I actually think he's a pretty decent quarterback. If he can get some weapons around him, of course you have Adrian Peterson, but who knows what he'll be able to produce this year coming back off the knee injury. So I have them slated for that fourth spot in the division.
All right. And now, I guess for me to round it out, let's see, I had the Green Bay Packers winning the division, followed by the Chicago Bears, Detroit Lions, and Minnesota Vikings. I just think Lions will have a pretty steady year. I think the Bears will bounce back pretty well. Maybe one of my playoff spots for wild card, never know. So that's the North. So let's go to the South. Have the Atlanta Falcons, Carolina Panthers, New Orleans Saints, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And head coaching chain, two of them in this division. Of course, the Saints losing Sean Payton because of Bounty Gate. And Tampa Bay Buccaneers picking up Greg Schiano from the Rutgers University. What do we think about this division? Let's see. Any big offseason moves? Falcons got a new offensive coordinator. Dirk Quarter. I don't know who that is. Let's see. Carolina lost Jeremy Shockey. Saints, don't remember them making too many player changes. Tampa Bay did pick up Vincent Jackson from San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, he'll produce for any fancy team but mine, but go ahead.
Well, that's because he sat out most of last year.
Yeah, he wanted that contract that he never got in San Diego.
Right. Yeah. So, Let's see. Thoughts on who will win the division?
Well, I have the Falcons finishing first. I think they can capitalize with the disarray going on in New Orleans right now about, you know, who's the head coach and who's going to take over as head coach after the 8-game suspension of the guy they had as the interim coach. So even though they have Drew Brees, I still pick the Falcons to finish first. I think they, you know, have a lot of stability there.
Right.
They have some big weapons, you know, at receiver. And this is going to be the year that Matt Ryan steps up, you know, because with all the weapons around him, the defense is coming along. This has to be the year he makes it for the Falcons. I do have New Orleans coming in second. I just can't count them out, you know, because they have Drew Brees. You know, he can throw for a zillion yards, you know, and, you know, a million touchdowns. And he alone probably can halfway drag them through the trouble that they're in, you know, with the revolving door of the head coach due to the bounty situation. I have the Carolina Panthers coming in third in the division. I think Cam Newton, if he can play
smart.
Play smart. I mean, he played last year, but is he going to game up or is he going to have a sophomore slump? You know, that's just, you know, being at the same time, who is he throwing to besides Steve Smith? Can you name another Carolina Panthers wide receiver? Anybody?
No. No.
Okay. I just thought it was me. I had to make sure. Okay. And I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers finishing fourth in that division. A new head coach. They did bring in a lot of off-season acquisitions, but let's see on with a new offensive system and a host of new players trying to jail.
Yeah. All right.
Go ahead,
Tim.
Okay. Let's see. I got the Falcons winning it, the division, followed by, I'm still going to say the Saints, then the Panthers and the Bucks. Probably the same way it fell out last year. And let's see. They did break the streak of a different division winner each year, I think.
It's been broken. It was broken before
I think like last 2 years they finally broke it. Yeah, it was a thing like there was no every year was a different
division winner.
Yeah, I want to say like whoever came in last
won the division. Season. Yeah,
yeah. But something about this division is fishy to me. Maybe they probably need to flip the Saints for somebody. That Carolina's defensive players got to stay healthy before I can bump them up above Carolina. Carolina the Saints, New Orleans will have that be in FU mode all season for Patrick Adele. So I think that'll push them to at least get the second in the division. All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Will Jonathan Vilma be playing this year is also a big question. You know, also he has against Roger Goodell. He's trying to, you know, pretty much save his career for this season. You know, he's fighting to stay on the roster. So
right. Keep my spot.
Yeah. This was probably one of the toughest ones I had to pick because I think that even though they lost Sean Payton, you know, Drew Brees makes up for a lot, you know.
Yeah.
So I kind of had them, I think I had the Saints winning, I think, with a tiebreaker over Atlanta. Because for some reason, the Falcons just cannot beat the Saints. I just don't know why. Until they can find a formula to beat them, they'll be second in the division every time, or they'll finish below the Saints. But I have New Orleans, then Atlanta, Carolina. I just think, you know, Tampa Bay's just got, it's too much rebuilding going on in Tampa Bay right now. Even though they still have Josh Freeman as quarterback, I just feel that Tampa Bay is just still got some work to do before they can get out of the bottom of the division.
Yeah, with the new head coach and the new offensive system, you don't know how Josh Freeman is going to respond to that. So.
Yeah. I saw one preseason game. He looked okay, but, you know, it's preseason.
All right. And rounding out the NFC is the NFC East, where we have the Dallas Cowboys, New York Giants.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Charlie picks Cowboys win. All right. Let's skip over him.
New York Giants, Philadelphia Eagles, and Washington Redskins. There was no big coaching changes in the division. So, yeah, I'll toss it over to Charlie. What you got to say?
Well, first of all, yes, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. I'll just be upfront about that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm a realistic Dallas Cowboys fan.
Okay.
Somewhat. I like the Cowboys. I do. But I'm concerned about the defense. That was the biggest problem with them last year. I mean, Tony Romo takes a lot of the blame, but if you go and look at Romo's numbers, he had statistically his best season as the Dallas Cowboy quarterback. It was the defense that couldn't hold leads and couldn't, you know, put the game away at the end. You know, when Tony Romo would leave with a lead, the defense would give it up. They addressed some of those issues in the offseason. They revamped the secondary, you know. They hopped up in the draft and got Claiborne. They brought in Brandon Carr. So that should help out the secondary a lot. But I hate to say this, but I didn't pick them to win the division. I picked the Giants to win the division. You know, Eli Manning, he's elite. You know, you can't argue with that now. He has two Super Bowl rings, so more than Peyton. You know, it's only a handful of guys that have more Super Bowl rings than Eli Manning right now. So with Victor Cruz and Akeem Nicks on the outside, and, you know, that their defensive front is, you know, always stout. And I picked them to win the division, which is like – I can't even believe these words coming out of my mouth. But I picked the Cowboys to finish second. I know there's been a lot of talk about the Eagles and, you know, the Dream Team moniker that they had to shit last year. But they have big questions with can Michael Vick stay healthy? You know, is their defense really going to produce this year? And, you know, a lot of people are quietly picking the Eagles to – make a Super Bowl run, but I just don't see it. You know, I have big concerns about them at quarterback and on the defensive side of the ball. And last, and usually last in the division, is the Redskins. They, you know, have Robert Griffin III as quarterback, and I think he's going to do well. But significant questions on defense. Who's the running back in Washington right now? No one knows. And they addressed some of the receiver concerns, but we'll have to see once the season starts what the Redskins are going to have. And
you ready to go, Adam Black?
Yeah, sure, I'll go. All right. I just feel that the Giants will do like they occasionally do every year, every other year it seems. I think this year they will start strong this year, especially coming off a Super Bowl win. I think they'll be probably they'll be the top or the second. They'll be the second best team in the NFC, I feel, next behind Green Bay. The next team I have, I'm having a hard time trying to decide between Philadelphia or Dallas, only because, like Charlie said, their backup quarterback is Nick Foles, and I have no idea what this guy's going to do when Michael Vick goes down. We just have to be concerned.
Notice you say when, because you pretty much predicted it's going to happen.
Shoot. We've already, you know, I was talking to my friend at work, and it's like it's bad when I have to worry about Michael Vick going into a preseason game and hoping he doesn't get hurt. And I said that the second week, and he got hurt. And I was like, damn. But, yeah, it's just hard to say, but I think I'll still pick I still have faith for some reason in the Eagles. I think the Eagles will finish second, followed by Dallas. A lot of talent, but I just don't – it's hard to say what's going to happen. Like Charlie said, the defense – Tony Romo gets all the blame for losing in the fourth quarter, but if the defense can't hold the lead to save their life in the fourth quarter, what more can Tony Romo do? He can't score more touchdowns maybe, but come on,
Romo is not covering the receivers. He's not playing defensive back. He's not playing linebacker. So.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully we'll get over the whole is Tony Romo elite thing as well. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's playing for my fantasy team. And
let's revisit that after this year. We gotta discuss that trade.
Yeah, sure, trade.
That pending trade is out there.
Okay, yeah, sure. In Washington – I just have to give them laughs. They got an unproven quarterback as far as we know. And there's other issues going on there as well. So I have to pick them at the bottom of the division.
All right, my go. Let's see. Who do I have winning this division? The Giants came as a wild card. Well, the Giants won the division, didn't they?
So that
won't happen this year. Plus, they won the Super Bowl. I think this will be the year Eagles win the division. I got the Eagles. I'm going to go Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, and Redskins.
Wow.
Just
for no particular reason.
Nope. Just because the NFL is kooky like that. No reason at all.
Okay.
I don't think the Giants will miss the playoffs this year.
Wow. Both.
Not just because I...
Yes, you heard it here first, Tim Dog. Yeah. The Giants will miss the playoffs.
So now let's pick our two wild cards. Let me eyeball. It's going to come out from the east and the north, I believe. That's usually the good divisions. I think the Bears will be a wild card. And... does the East get a wild card? I had Dallas being in the second, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I have the Lions finally making the... usually the East usually gets... well, I guess last year the East didn't get two playoff teams.
No.
Man, this is tough.
Yes, it is. The NFC is loaded if you really look at it.
Yeah. Well, I went Eagles, Cowboys, and Giants. Yeah. Do the Cowboys actually make the playoffs this year?
Yes.
if anyone else has a there too, they can go ahead and say what I think about my last.
I'm having a hard time with it myself.
I guess I'll go ahead. Like I said, the NFC is just loaded. If you look at it, you know, you can make an argument for the Giants. The Eagles, the Packers, the Bears, the Lions, the Falcons, the Saints, and the 49ers. So out of that group, two of those teams are not going to make it to the playoffs.
Yes.
No, three of those teams are not going to make it. So,
mm-hmm.
It's really tough. But I have regrettably, I have the Giants as the number one overall seed. Lord, I hope I'm wrong. I have the Packers as the 2 seed and the Falcons and the 49ers as division winners getting into the playoffs. And like I said, it's just really tough after that. If I had to guess, which, you know, is what we're all doing, I would say the Cowboys and the Saints make it in, and leaving the Bears and the Lions out in the cold, which is tough.
All right. All right. So I guess I can go ahead and pick. So I said the Bears, and I'll round it out by saying I'll say the Lions. Why not?
Oh.
Bold. So you moves. Like three teams in the North?
Actually, no, I don't. Sometimes I see the East like beating up on each other like they usually do.
Yeah. It was brutal last year for the NFCs.
Yeah, I'll stick with the Lions, just be different.
All right. I'll go. To recap, my NFC predictions are the Packers to win the North and be number one, the Giants to win the East and be number two, followed by New Orleans and San Francisco getting into the playoffs as 3 and 4. I'm not sure how they'll wind up falling, but 3 and 4. My wild card teams, I will pick the Atlanta Falcons as a wild card team, and followed by and I'm going to go with the Chicago Bears. I think the East will beat themselves up like they normally do, but I still think the Giants will reign over that division, though. But yeah, I just don't think Philly and Dallas may have enough to get in. It's like Charlie said, you have to pick three teams to not make the playoffs out of all those teams he listed. I mean, you can make an argument on my side. I feel you can make an argument for Philly, Dallas, San Francisco, New Orleans, Atlanta, Chicago, and Detroit. But, you know, that way I'm looking at it. It was just tough, and that was probably the toughest one to pick between AFC and NFC, but I'm going to stick with this one.
Cool. So, let's see. So, we've got our division winners. Let's go ahead and make our Super Bowl predictions. What two teams we see facing each other?
Charlie, I know you've thought this through, so go ahead.
Well, yes, I've given this a significant amount of thought. And out of the AFC, it's going to be, to me, I think it comes to Baltimore or the Patriots. And I think this is the year after the playoff disappointment of last year. I think Baltimore is going to overcome New England and get into the Super Bowl. And the NFC is just, it's brutal. I lean toward the Packers because I think after that disappointment last year, Aaron Rodgers is going to come back fired up. You know, I know they only lost one game, but he's going to really rally that team and just say, you know, we're getting into the Super Bowl this year. And I see it being the Packers and the Ravens in the Super Bowl and the Packers winning.
All right. I, too, have Baltimore finally getting over that hump. As far as who they're facing, I didn't really give that too much thought. But as far as in the AFC Championship game, who they match up with. But I have them matching up in the Super Bowl. I'm leaning either San Francisco or Chicago. I think Green Bay's too, the obvious pick. There's always got to be, like, some curveballs. I am going to go with San Francisco. The Harbaugh brothers unite in the Super Bowl.
All right. Okay. Not bad pick. All right. AFC, I have Baltimore also winning. I have them. I thought they would probably, how I worked it out is that New England would beat them in the regular season, but then Baltimore would finally get their revenge and get out of the AFC and get to the Super Bowl. That was a little bit easier than the NFC. I feel it will be Green Bay getting back to the Super Bowl to prove a point. I just don't see the Giants getting back for some reason. I just can't see it happening again. San Francisco, I don't think is ready to make the move out of the NFC. And once again, like Charlie said, I'm not sure which. I think Alex Smith is good enough to win the division. To get to the Super Bowl, that's a whole another situation. New Orleans, I mean, even though they'll be fired up this year, no, it's not going to happen. So that's my pick.
Who'd you pick?
I picked Baltimore. Oh, I'm sorry. I picked Baltimore and Green Bay, and I predict Baltimore winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, I guess we should say who we – yeah, I picked Super Bowl food matchup, but I didn't say who would win.
Yeah.
I'll go 49ers.
Well, I believe I did say the Packers, but
– okay.
I'm switching. I'll say the Cowboys. I'm all the way to Cowboys. Bring it home. Let's get that sixth Super Bowl. Let's go ahead and get that trophy. Yes, right now. Cowboys win it all.
Right now. Let's see. Go ahead and do some offensive, defensive players of the year. Offensive, I'll go. I'm gonna go Tom Brady, offensive player of the year. Defensive, crap. Defensive player is always harder to come by. I'll say Revis.
Okay. I guess I'll go offensive player of the year. I go with Aaron Rodgers. I think he's going to have another monster year. And defensive player of the year, I might sound homerish for going with this, but I'm going to go with a guy that doesn't get as much credit as he deserves for the way he plays, and that's DeMarcus Ware. You know, he is the number one pass rusher in the NFL, if you ask me. I know, you know, you ask some more people, you probably get, you know, Julius Peppers or the guy, Allen out of Minnesota.
Oh, Jared Allen.
Yeah, Jared Allen. But I think DeMarcus Ware, defensive player of the year.
All right. I also think Aaron Rodgers will get offensive player of the year. The defensive choice, I feel he'll make a difference in Buffalo and break the whole streak of I'm going to get a big contract and then underperform for the rest of my career. Mario Williams in Buffalo, defensive player of the year.
Okay. Do we want to do rookies of the year?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Who are rookies this year?
We got plenty. We got five rookie quarterbacks starting this year, I believe.
It'll end up being some like running back who breaks out that was like some late round pick somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
My mind's gone blank. Can't even think who was drafted. If did you have anyone, Charlie?
Well, it was a tough one for me. I mean, I think you got three, you know, pretty good candidates for offensive rookie of the year, and Robert Griffin III, Andrew Luck, and Trent Richardson. So I think one of those three is going to break out and have a good year. And if given the team that's around that individual, I have to say it was Robert Griffin III. I mean, he has a better team around him at this time than I would say Andrew Luck or Trent Richardson does. So I would lean towards him as offensive rookie of the year. And defensive rookie of the year, maybe Morris Claiborne with the Cowboys.
I don't really – I want to lean Robert – I'm leaning Robert Griffin over Andrew Luck just because I just feel – everything's ready for him in Washington than Andrew Luck has. I think they've got a year or two more of rebuilding before he'll have it. And I cannot pick a defensive player of the year because I really don't know any that are out there, really. So N.A. will be on the sheet for me. Not applicable.
Okay.
Sounds good. So, let's see. I'll refrain from picking because, like I said, my brain's going out on me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think we covered. Oh, yeah. The last thing, Charlie came up with a good idea of maybe doing a pick 'em contest where we go on. Well, I'll hopefully be able to go on ESPN and create a pick 'em group, and I'll post it on the website and tweet out maybe a link for it and the password. I'll make the group private, even though I'll probably send out public
invitation for it.
Invitation. I'll at least put the password where everyone can see it if they want to make weekly picks against the Click Nation. And whoever comes out the best with whoever does the best picking and has the best record at the end, maybe they will have some kind of pride with the winner that just wants to host a show with us. Something along those lines.
To go into the nation and figure that
out. We've got a whole bunch of stuff in the background, Charlie.
I want to do?
Yeah, something's going on, but in case you think we could hear you.
Oh, okay.
In Washington or someone in the background somewhere doing something. And in water.
Oh, that's my wife in the kitchen.
Hello, wife.
Hey, brother.
Everyone says hello, dear. She says hello, and that she's sorry for the noise.
Don't worry, we're almost done with Charlie for tonight.
Okay. They're almost done with me.
But yes, we'll do a pick 'em contest.
Do we have to have it up by tomorrow?
Hopefully not. It's not going to be up by tomorrow. It might be if I get out sometime tomorrow. Enough people probably won't know about it, even if it is available. Hopefully, it's probably one of those games where you can do it any time of the week, sorry, any time of the year. But, just tune into the Facebook fan page or the Twitter account. You'll see or the website, Twitter, theclicknation.com. You'll see some info about it.
Yes, sir.
So make sure I'm not missing anything else from what we're supposed to talk about tonight as far as the topic of football. Nope, that was it. So I guess now I'll just transition on to some listener feedback. I got a couple of tweets I can read. Let's see, Kojak Delta had a couple of tweets and Facebook comment. So after listening to the Click Nation, I figured Tim Dog 98 is that misdirection mob boss no one ever expected. And let's see, he also, I think this was a Facebook from the last episode. He said, that was funny, Tim Dog and No Limit. Hashtag, Steve Jackson had some comments after listening to the show. He said he interrupted podcasts to listen to Cash Money, Bling Bling. And he said, everybody get your roll on. And I've seriously been listening to old Cash Money for an hour. Used to love this. That's Sharif, at Sharif Jackson, who's the co-host of the Operation Cubicle podcast. So check them out on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. At Even Flow Supreme gave us a Follow Friday shout out. So I want to give him some props. Thanks for spreading the word on the show. And Classic also had another tweet. Let me find it real quick. Oh, he said Classic Materia on Twitter said, this latest episode of the podcast, and he has a bunch of greater than symbols. Y'all are bugging out. Thank you. Yeah, I enjoyed the show.
Yeah, it was fun show host being on last week.
Yeah, my favorite episode to date. So I guess with that, I'll start doing the end to the show. You can follow my individual Twitter account at TimOGG98. Mr. Banff is at MISTABAMF. Leroy Jetstream is at Leroy_Jetstream.
I'm at D_Adam_Black on Twitter.
Yes, and I'm at Steel_Hidden on Twitter. That's my personal account and my business account. _Design, if you're into that sort of thing.
Say it one more time. I think you cut out during some of it.
Okay, my personal account is at Steel_Hidden, and my business account is at Third_Designs on Twitter.
Cool. So, let's see. Like I said, check us out on the website, theclicknation.com. Follow the Twitter at theclicknation. Facebook.com/theclicknation is the Facebook fan page. Subscribe on iTunes and like us and favorite us on Stitcher Radio. Send any listener feedback to theclicknation@gmail.com. And I think that's it. So with that, I am Tim DOGG for Brandy from BLR Productions. Thanks taking her again for joining us, and for Charlie and at the Adam Black, we are the Click Nation, and we are signing off.
This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay ass accent, them cheap ass cigars, your yuck mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Up in a body bag.